Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing on our series in looking at dangerous prayer, and we're currently looking at the prayer that is given by David in Psalm 139 verses 23 to 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we've already seen that it's quite a dangerous prayer, as we've looked at the first couple of lines, which say, search my heart, allow me to know me, myself, and to reveal the depths of myself to me. Know my anxious thoughts, reveal my greatest fears, and then help me to face them head on. But now we ask God to see if there is any offensive way in me. Now this might be a very uncomfortable and undesirable thing to ask God. See if there's any offensive way in me. We are essentially asking God to reveal the darkest parts of ourselves, for God to demonstrate where we are living in opposition to his guidance. That's a pretty risky thing to ask God, because if we are being honest with ourselves, when we do things that we know aren't in God's desire for us, it isn't because we want to be disobedient. It isn't because we don't care about God. It's because whatever we are doing gives us joy. Whether it's we like whatever we are doing, because otherwise we wouldn't be doing it. Even though in our spirits we want to do what God calls us to, we find our sinful natures still clinging to what we have been called away from. I'm comforted that it's not only me who struggles with these things. Apostle Paul said this in Romans 7 verses 15 to 25. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So even the Apostle Paul struggled with sin. He wrote about this struggle between doing what we need to do, what we want to do in our spirits, and the things that we do because we still find sin leading us away from God. Verses 15 to 24 of this passage seem to be this heartfelt cry of recrimination against himself and his constant desire to do what is not right, that he fails to resist time and time again. Have you ever felt the pain of that cry? When you have messed up again and feel wretched and wicked? Perhaps it is the same sin that you fall into time and time again, and every time you vow it's the last time, and yet it happens again. And your heart cries out with grief that you cannot escape this terrible trap. Or perhaps it's a new sin each time and you just feel that sense of hopelessness as you continually go into paths and ways of life that God has not called you to. It can all feel so hopeless, but we are not without hope. Paul follows this desperate heart cry with the wonderful truth of grace that we find in Christ. Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. We do not fight against sin by ourselves. We do not wage a futile battle that we can never win, because Jesus has already won the war against sin and evil. He has reclaimed us from Satan, and so we can be washed clean, no matter how many times we slip into the sin again and again. But there are some times when we're not even consciously aware of our sins, or times when we rationalise our behaviour and ignore the call of God to repent. Sometimes these things become so commonplace in our lives that we don't even realise we're doing them anymore. And so, sometimes we need to echo David's prayer and ask God to see if there is any offensive way in me. This is difficult to ask. We are asking God to show me if I'm doing anything that offends or hurts you. And God's response to that prayer can be challenging and difficult, something we don't want to hear. So perhaps a step before we even pray that prayer is asking God to help us want to change, to become more like Him. Before we can ask God to reveal the offensive ways in ourselves, perhaps we first have to ask Him to prepare our hearts to desire to be transformed. And once we've asked God to prepare our hearts, how do we actually hear from Him? How can we begin to understand what is offensive in our lives? Well, there are obviously things that we know are offensive to God because it says so in His Word. A good knowledge of what it says in Scripture is essential if we want to continue to be transformed by God. We cannot expect to follow God if we do not know what He says to us. Paul reminded Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If that is true, and Scripture is God-breathed, then we need to continually study what it says and apply it to our lives. So the first way we know in which something is offensive to God is by looking at what it says in Scripture. A second way in which God communicates with us is through our consciences. When we do something that is offensive to God, we will often feel a niggle in our hearts, a doubting in our minds. The Holy Spirit provokes us and makes us feel uncomfortable about our current course of action. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being." Or in the Good News translation, it says, "The Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves." God has given us a sense of what is right, and the Spirit constantly tries to draw our attention to this when we begin to stray away from God. Unfortunately, though, we are pretty good at ignoring our consciences. Can we ask God to help us tune in more to when He is trying to direct us? When it's true that once we've ignored our conscience about something once, it's easier to ignore it a second time regarding the same thing, until we no longer get alerted to it at all. So to give you an example, when I was a child, I was a really prolific liar. I used to lie all the times, but I remember the feeling of the initial warning, the guilt and fear when I first started telling lies, but I ignored it, and I stopped paying attention to that conscience at all, and so it just led me to lie and lie and lie, because I just stopped feeling any kind of nudging from my conscience, hence why I used to lie so much. So are we prepared to pay attention to when God uses our conscience to warn us away from our choices? The next few things I have to say are less obvious ways that God may use to show any offensive way in us. And one such way is regarding what other people say to you about you. We all have people that we love and trust, whose voices we are willing to listen to, and sometimes that they may have noticed unhelpful behaviour and lovingly point that out to us so that we do not go astray. Are there any areas in your life, your habits, your relationships, your actions, your words, that others have suggested might need a change? Is there something that people who care about you have suggested you might need help with? A useful test of this might be to consider if there is anything that more than two people have mentioned as an issue. For example, if people have commented on how sharp some of your words can cut, or how you never have time to spend with people because you're always rushing around doing other things, or if people have noticed how much you eat or drink, or whatever it might be. If there have been comments from people you love about something, then instead of becoming defensive or justifying your behaviour, or just outright ignoring them, perhaps you might need to pause and ask God, is this something you want me to change? When we ask God to show us if we have any offensive ways in us, listening to what other people mention to us is important. And next is defensiveness. When someone does point out something that might need to change, it's so easy for our backs to go up and for us to go on the defensive. And that is often another sign that there is something that God is calling us to change. When we find ourselves reacting badly to other people's comments and putting up our defences, it is important to pause and ask ourselves, why are we acting like this? In 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 6, we are reminded, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Part of clothing ourselves with humility towards one another includes being willing to recognise and admit when we are in the wrong and someone else has identified that in our lives. None of us like having our faults or sins pointed out by someone, and so our instinctive reaction is to become defensive. I've done nothing wrong. Mind your own business. Stop sticking your nose into things that don't concern you. But maybe, just maybe, we can pause and allow God to speak. Ask him if there is something I need to change. Is this something he is challenging me on? Because as Peter carries on to say, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Another thing that we need to think about when God is communicating those offensive ways to us is our way that we like to justify sin, to rationalise it away. We think to ourselves, oh, it's no big deal. It's my life. I can do what I want. I'm not hurting anyone. Why is it anyone else's business but mine? We need God's help to see the sin that we find difficult to recognise when we look in the mirror. In Psalm 36, the psalmist says, in their own eyes they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. How often do we flatter ourselves too much to notice or hate our own sin? Without even knowing it, our deceptive hearts allow us to ignore our own sin. David knew all about rationalising. His most famous sin is when he slept with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed in an attempt to cover it up. But he didn't start off planning to do that. Here is what I imagine happened in his head. When he decided to stay in the palace rather than taking his place in the army, he probably thought to himself, I have fought and won a lot of battles. I deserve a bit of time out. They can cope without me. Then when he first noticed Bathsheba bathing on the roof, he thought, who is that? I should introduce myself to one of my neighbours. After all, I'd like some company, someone to talk to. I'm not going to do anything, just talk. Nothing will happen. And so on, until he finds himself committing adultery, murder, telling lies. rationalisation upon rationalisation built on top of each other until he had moved far away from the path God had called him to. Is there any area of your life that you find yourself rationalising? Stop and ask God to show you the truth of what is going on. So we see that it's important to become aware of where sin has developed in our lives. It's important to ask God to see if there is any offensive way in me. But it's not enough to just become aware of it. Once we recognise it, our next response should be repentance. Now, repentance is not just a simple, "Sorry, Lord, I did wrong." The Oxford English Dictionary definition for repentance is grief for one's acts or words and a resolve to change one's conduct or to make amends. When we repent, we truly recognise that we have done wrong and we throw ourselves on God's mercy. When we repent, we feel not just a general sense of sorrow, but actual pain and grief because we have turned away from our loving God. Is there something that God has put on your heart that he wants to call you to repentance to? Furthermore, when we repent, we ask God to help us to avoid such behaviour in the future. One of the words used for repentance in the Hebrew literally means to turn back, to return. So when we repent, we choose to turn our backs on our old lives and turn our eyes to God. We choose to return to worshipping him and him only, to return to our dependence on him for all our needs and direction, rather than trying to act in our own strengths and our own wills. Now I'm going to stop talking here and invite you to do some praying of your own. Spend some time in prayer, asking God to reveal your sin to yourself. See if there is any offensive way in me, Lord. So just take this time, wait upon him and ask God to reveal the depths of your heart to yourself. And then ask God to forgive you. Seek repentance. Let him fill you with his spirit as he washes you clean.